Nan Killian was surrounded by mayhem, deafening pandemonium. Darkness shrouded her and her companions. They were nothing but a handful of insignificant observers in the cavernous, shadow-wrapped room full of people. And all of them were screaming. "Look behind you!" Nan shrieked at the top of her lungs. Beside her, her ward, little Suki, screamed the same thing. So did Sarah Lyon White, her dearest friend, and John and Mary Watson sitting on the other side of Suki, even Lord Alderscroft. Everyone else in the theater shouted the same words together, in thundering, raucous chorus. "Look behind you!" they all screamed with delight as Aladdin, resplendent in blue and gold satin, tiptoed his way across the stage with a black-robed evil magician Abenazar right behind him, about to pounce and steal his lamp. It was a week to Christmas, and that meant it was time for that hallowed and beloved Christmas tradition known throughout all of England when theaters and music halls gave over their usual schedules to the Panto, the cherished, silly, absurd, childish Christmas pantomime that everyone went to and probably enjoyed to the hilt even when they were pretending not to. It was a chance not just to feel like a child, but to be a child again. A chance to be dazzled by tinsel and stage magic, to enjoy a sugar-coated story where the hero and heroine would live happily forever. And for the adults, a chance to catch naughty double entendres that flew right over the children's heads. And here in London, Christmas Panto time meant you were absolutely spoiled for choice. Every theater had a different show, but Suki, Nan, and Sarah's adopted charge had been very firm in her wish to see Aladdin, and only Aladdin, and only this Aladdin. When the papers began advertising the upcoming season, she had, it seemed, carefully perused the newspaper accounts of every production on offer, and she wanted this particular one at the Britannia, which featured two stars this year, a ballet dancer who was supposedly very famous, and the princess, and a prominent Shakespearean actor as Widow Twankey, Aladdin's mother. Nan had never heard of either of them, but Sarah had assured her that they were both very highly regarded, which was good enough for her, so plans were made and put into motion. That's from Mercedes Lackey's newest Elemental Masters novel, A Scandal in Battersea. It's Christmas time in Victorian England, and John Watson and his family are out for an evening of childlike entertainment, taking in, as we just heard, a famed pantomime. With the audience's raucous catcalls and screams of delight still ringing in their ears, John Watson and his coterie take to a wealthy lord's carriage for the leisurely ride through holiday-styled London, on the way to dinner at the Lord's town home. They ride through a London we are so familiar with from any number of novels, plays, movies, TV series, not the least the famed Sherlock Holmes tales on which this Lackey story is loosely based. But this is Mercedes Lackey, famed writer of fantasy, and this London is London in which magic is never far from the surface. The friendly noble who is driving Watson and his family to his home for dinner is the Lord Wizard of London and much of England. And so, from the chapter's first reference to a seedy neighborhood of Victorian England, through the novel's deft use of iconic characters Sherlock Holmes and John Watson, A Scandal in Battersea sets itself firmly into the world of Sherlock Holmes literature with more than a splash of magic. The Sherlockian aspects of the story feature the normally staid John Watson, as we rarely see him. Jovial, delighting in time with his family and friends, including that waif of two of Watson and his wife's closest and psychic friends, whom had been taken in not that long ago, and were off in a romp that takes us not only to the seedy and upscale worlds of turn-of-the-century London, but there's lots of the magical world of Mercedes Lackey tucked in as we read as well. Indeed, the sometimes bumbling, always loyal John Watson takes center stage early on as he and his family's magical powers are put to use early to determine and then assuage the mental disruptions of a young woman of means, who has had herself exiled to a magic-centered asylum for the mentally disrupted. That young woman to whom Watson, his wife Mary, and their friends, the psychics, Nan and Sarah, are sent to find becomes a key player in our story, as they all discover a previously unknown magical creature who has infected the young woman's mind and spirit, causing her to experience an ongoing putrid, phantasmagorical, dark London. It is an evil creature that then moves on to infect one young woman after another, leading our characters on a magical chase into a world they can sense and in some primitive ways protect themselves from. But the creature they have stumbled upon is a creature from a world not like ours. So different, so horrible is it that even their formidable magical knowledge leaves our heroes almost as much at the creature's mercy as the rest of us will soon be. Threw into this fictional mix a well-heeled bachelor whose magical powers have become legendary and whose moral sense is at the best of times only for public show, this gentleman of magic's obsessive fascination with a tattered book of seeming gibberish he finds moldering in a bookstore drives him to first translate its pages and then, once he discovers what he has come upon, use its pages to call into our world that mysterious and evil creature which causes havoc throughout our story. And all because our magician clamors for the magical temporal powers the book promises its reader. But as he, our heroes, and we too learn, the tentacled creature whom the evil magician conjures from another world will provide its magical power only at a tragic price. We'll add it all together in our story, and you have the makings of a Victorian tale that keeps those pages turning. Mercedes Lackey, if you know her, is adroit at painting a world in which the surface is, for all we normal mortals can see, a place that runs and thinks as we do. The trains run here and there. Christmastide brings joy to many, despair to a few. And the snow falls on and delights and frustrates the rich and the poor alike, the magic and the non-magical. A Scandal in Bittersea, the 12th in her Elemental Master series, is a tale anyone who enjoys a magical romp into a world that just might be will enjoy. And you don't need to read the prior 11 books in the series to enjoy this one. Strangely enough, you can launch into it immediately, as I did. Having read some Mercedes Lackey several years ago, I thought, give her a try again. I jumped into this one and enjoyed it from page one. Let's wrap up by reading kind of near the end, but not really at the end, as we join our heroes just about as they are to discover what horror awaits them thanks to that evil magician's work. By the way, Sherlock Holmes himself has joined the story by this time, and you'll hear him add his thoughts to what is about to happen. Sarah shrieked. They all turned to see she was pointing at the door to the study and quickly looked in that direction, expecting something horrific to be coming in the door. But worse, Sarah was pointing to where the door had been, because the door was almost completely gone now, and in its place was a door-shaped area of utter blackness, like the darkness of the void between the stars itself. Instinctively, they all leapt to their feet and backed away from it, and just in time, for a moment later, the void erupted with tentacles, tentacles that flailed into the space where living humans had just been. In the next moment, Nan felt the Celtic warrior woman erupt from her slumber deep within her. Anger rather than fear filled her. She raised her head and screamed defiance at whatever was trying to reach them, unsurprised to discover her gown had turned into a short checkered tunic and leather trousers, that her feet and legs were wrapped in crude leather boots, and that there was a bronze sword in her hand. With a matching scream of defiance, Neville launched himself from his perch and landed on her shoulder, now the size of an eagle. Behind her, Salim uttered a blood-curdling war cry, in which the name of Allah figured prominently. In the next moment, he, Agan Singh, and Kamanjit were beside her, their own swords in hand. As the tentacles continued to flail, the four of them charged. They could scarcely have missed if they had tried. There were plenty of targets, and the main concern Nan had beneath the warrior's white-hot rage was not to hit the other three by accident. With one stroke, she lopped off three squirming tentacles. She had braced herself, expecting some reaction, a hideous scream, mental or physical. But there was nothing. Just silence. And the amputated tentacles vanished into mist. Abruptly, the rest of the monster or monsters withdrew, and the void began to shrink. That was when Puck leapt past her and thrust a green, glowing staff, sprouting vines and vividly emerald leaves, into the blackness. "I'll hold the door," he shouted. "Go! You'll never get a better chance to cut the thing off at the root." Nan didn't hesitate, and neither did her friends. Side by side, they vaulted into the darkness. With Neville clinging to her shoulder, they emerged under a cold, starless sky, landing on a ground that felt like ashes. Faint, sourceless light seemed to come from that sky, just enough to see by to keep from stumbling into things, not enough to see far or clearly. With a glance at each other, they moved out of the way, just in time for the rest to come through. Sherlock stared at them all incredulously. But he did not permit the transformation to hold his attention for long. The first thing he did, once he tore his eyes away from his companions, was to stoop and scoop up a tiny bit of soil they were standing on, feeling it carefully, holding it to his nose, and sniffing it, tasting it. "Is it what I think it is?" John Watson asked his friend. "Without making exact tests, I would say this earth is identical to that which I removed from the clothing of the latest victims, yes," Holmes replied. "I wish I had a fighting stick. Or my revolver." The story continues. The story thickens. The story blackens. Mercedes Lackey, A Scandal in Battersea, an elemental master's novel featuring Sherlock Holmes, John Watson, and a cast of other engaging characters that I think you're going to enjoy. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.